All right, well, this morning I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles with me to James chapter 5, verses 15 and 7. And I'm going to ask you to stay with me because I might go all over the place this morning. My heart is stirred, and my faith is just real big right now. I just believe, I'm really at a place in my life, I really believe that God can do anything. God can do anything. And I've been really seeking the Lord and praying for direction for my family, but also for our church. And I'm going to talk to you about what the Lord has put upon my heart that we need to do as a church. James chapter 5, verse 15 and 7, the Bible says this, "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well." I'm going to say that again. "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective." Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I need you this morning. God, I ask that you would remove me, allow me to decrease that you may increase. Help me to communicate this word with conviction, with power. I pray that you would stir the hearts of your people to be people of prayer. I ask that prayer would not just be a wishful activity, but faith-driven, power-packed prayer, that it would fill our church, oh God. We need you. I need you. Help me to articulate the message the way you gave it to me. Have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, I'm going to talk to you about the power of prayer. And this morning, I want to talk to you about how our world is in a time where it needs our prayers. I want to talk to you about how God is looking for his church to prioritize prayer as a lifestyle. And if you look at what's going on around in the world, if there was ever a time that God's church needed to be praying, it is now. You know, I was doing some research and I found that Lifeway.com conducted a survey a few years back. And they did a survey with 1,300 evangelical leaders from across the world. And what they wanted to do was determine the top 10 issues facing the church today. And according to this survey, all 1,300 evangelical leaders all claimed that the number one issue or problem in the church today, prayerlessness. They all agreed that the church is in a state where it's not praying the way that it should be. They went on to say that what we need in churches today is more passionate prayer, where both people are praying for personal and for the people in the church. The second they said was discipleship, and third, leadership. But I want to focus on the first one, prayerlessness. Prayerlessness is a big issue in our society. You know, if you were to ask most people would tell you that they don't pray enough. Wave at me if you've been there. I'm there too. Come on, somebody. You know, prayer is one of the things that should come so naturally to us as Christians, yet it often goes neglected and lacking in our lives. For example, did you know that the average person prays 7 minutes a day, while being influenced by the world for 23 hours, 53 minutes every single day? Now, if you and I are influenced by this world 23 hours, and that's if we pray 7 minutes, because I think that was a pretty ambitious and high statistic. But most people see prayer or view prayer as a time where they seek God when they're in trouble. Truth be told, prayer is not utilized or as effective as it could be because people don't understand its power, nor do they understand how we should pray. prayer could be one of the most powerful weapons that you have? Because the Bible tells us the weapons of our warfare as believers, it's not carnal, right? But for pulling down of strongholds. And do you know what one of those weapons are? It's prayer. It's reading your word. You and I have a weapon of prayer that we can seek the face of God. Listen, did you know that when you pray, you can change the course of history? That's some heavy stuff. I'm gonna back it up in a minute. But I have been seeking the Lord, and I have been asking God, what do you want for my life? Because I desire to do good things. Last week we talked about the sinful nature and how we want to do good, but for some reason we don't do good. And I have been asking God, work within me, change me. I want to be the man that you can use. I want to do what the Bible says I can do. And the Lord took me to 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I believe that you got to take note this morning, because this is the message of the Lord. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. And I believe with all my heart that God wants to begin to heal our land, heal our families, begin to break the chains of bondage, but he's first seeking a church that would be willing to move from their wicked ways and turn to God, seek his face, not for what we want or what we need, but simply to know who he is. See, church today has become like a make me feel good pastor type service. You see them churches that are packed out. I don't got nothing against big churches. I want to be a big church one day. But my God, I was talking to a pastor not too long ago, and he's like, what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. Hey, I'm a pastor too. We started talking, and he said, but do you preach like the whole truth? I said, like in my mind, I was like I'm from the hood. Like, I started sensing like, what in the where I come from, I wanted to know truth. I wasn't going to follow anything but the truth. I mean, I came from a broken family. I came from, man, alcoholism, drugs. I'm talking abuse. And if I was going to follow a God, I needed to know that it was the true word, infallible word of God. So you're asking me if I preach the truth? I was like, what do you preach? Well, no, true story. I promise you. I said, what denomination are you? Well, you know, we used to be this, we used to be that, but see, you know, we don't want to offend them. A true story. I kid you not. He said, well, you know, I mean, we want to get them in first. Oh, so in my mind, I'm like, so you're trying to trick them to come into church? Like, this is the problem. If we win you with tricks, I got to keep you with tricks. If I win you, you know what I'm saying, with the like tap dance, come on somebody. If I win you with like show, come on somebody. I got to keep you, come on somebody. But if we win you with the truth, if we win you with the power of God, you won't settle for anything else. When you have heard the word of God, when you've experienced the move of God in your life, you won't settle for anything else. And I think we're living in a day where too many people, they're searching for what they want and they manipulate the word of God. God says enough is enough. If he is going to heal our land, we have got to seek the face of God. There are a lot of people who would admit, man, pastor, I desire to pray. I desire to learn. But then they would say, I really don't know how. And I can tell you, when I walked into the church, I wasn't born in church. I wasn't raised in church. I had to learn to pray. But I want to tell you a story of what I feel depicts the idea of what it means to pray. You know, there was a story of a young man who walked along the beach every morning. And on his way to school, every day he would pass an old man standing on the beach with his arms stretched out. Every day this old man would pray to God. Every afternoon as the young man headed home, the old man would still be standing there, intrigued by this man's dedication and passion for prayer. The young man stopped and asked, "Sir, will you teach me to pray like you?" The old man went aggressive towards him, grabbed him by his shirt, put his head in the ocean, pushed his head under the water. He held the young man's head under the water and then pulled his head up. The boy gasped and filled his lungs with air just as the old man pushed his head back down under the water again for one more minute. The old man pulled the boy's head back up again and allowed the boy desperately to grab one more gasp of air into his lungs and then put his head back down, pulled him up, and stared at him. Shocked, the young man asked him, "Why did you do that? All I did was ask you to teach me to pray." And the old man looked at the boy and said, "Son, until you want God as badly as you just wanted air, I cannot teach you to pray." See, you first have to have a desire to know God. You have to have a desire to want God in your life. And when you want God, you will learn quickly that the only way to truly know and identify the power of His presence is on your knees. See, that desire to want to know God will motivate you to pray. But you got to understand, there's some truths about prayer that you have to know. Number one, prayer is a two-way street. Prayer is how we communicate with God. It's how we draw near to God. It's where we abide in His presence and where we find peace. See, at its very core, prayer should be seen as a relationship between two people. But a lot of people tend to approach prayer in terms of a monologue where they simply talk to God. But prayer doesn't work like that. Because did you know that God desires to speak to you? God desires to show you characteristics of who He is. But if we approach prayer and the only thing we do is do it as a routine, or we just start telling God everything we want. Like, think about this. If it was like, if my conversation was like, hey, honey, this is what I want to do today, and this is what we got to do, and guess what? I want to go here, but you know what? I really need money. I need money to go golfing. I really would like some time today, and I would love it if you could watch the kids. Can we do that? Can we make that happen? Because I know you love me. I love you, but you need to... See, I snuck that one in there, but that really happens. That really happens. We approach God's throne and we're like, "God, I need you, God." When we've lived our life, we've done what we've done, but now we need Him. Therefore, God, it's time. Prayer doesn't work like that. Prayer is a two-way street. Did you know that when you talk to God, you could be honest with God? Prayer is the only place where you can actually gossip. Real deal. Don't come gossiping to me because I might rebuke you sharply. Come on, somebody. I don't like people talking about people. I've been known to do that. Somebody comes talking crazy about somebody else, and I go, "Oh, really? Hey, meet me upstairs in a second. We'll go upstairs, and lo and behold, the person will be there, and I'll tell you. Tell them what you just told me." We don't believe in gossip in this church. True story, I did that before. But if you're going to gossip, you know you can gossip in prayer. Because if you're going to tell and talk about someone and judge somebody, come to the judgment seat. I mean, go to God with it. And guess what? You'll realize real quick, wow, God will speak to your heart. God will minute. You can be honest with God. I mean, you can tell God things like, "Man, I don't like him. I don't like her. She gets on my nerves." And it's crazy how when we start praying with integrity and honesty, how God will minister to our heart, and all of a sudden, judgment falls by the wayside. All of a sudden, spite and hate goes by the wayside. A compassion comes over us, and the person that we didn't like, now we want to help. I have a few things. Again, I have truths of prayer, and I want to tell you the rules of prayer. So number one, prayer is a two-way street. Number two, truths about prayer. Something you have to understand is this. Prayer changes things. Listen to me. Things happen when you pray. And this is the truth that we all need to understand and we need to believe. Understand, because when you understand prayer works, you understand things will happen that would not have happened had you not prayed. The Lord spoke that to me clearly. He says, Eric, you want all these things, but you haven't prayed for it. Things will happen that wouldn't have happened had you not prayed for it. And we got to approach prayer that way. We have to know that prayer works. James 5:16, the scripture we opened up with, the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being just like us. And when he prayed, the Bible tells us that he stopped the rain. That's some heavy stuff. The greatest lie people believe is that their prayers don't matter. Know this, your prayers do matter. Your prayers matter to God. Again, we can change the course of history. I believe that I am a product of praying people. I believe my life was changed because somebody prayed for me. When I gave my life to the Lord, I remember there was an older lady in our church, Lupi Palomino. And I remember she came up to me and she said, young man, I prayed for you. Your mom came and your dad came. They said, pray for my son. We put your name on that board. It took a year, but oh, hallelujah. She looked at me, said, thank God you know the truth. Listen, some of you have to start praying about the things you want. Some of you got to start praying for your family members that they will change. You got to start believing and knowing that your prayers can affect the earth. John 15:7 says this, if you abide in me and my words abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Jack Hayford in his book, Prayer is Invading the Impossible, said this, if you don't, he won't. And sometimes we treat prayer like a wishful hope. You gotta know that prayer changes things. Number three. Did you know that when you pray, prayer changes your perspective? You can go into prayer one way, all angry, all upset, and come out a completely different person. And I will caution you that prayer is not simply asking for things or direction or clarity. But the more we pray, the more we understand God's character. And I have learned over the years that I can go into my prayer closet frustrated, angry, full of anxiety. But something happens when I pour my heart out to the Lord, when I'm completely, when I remove all the distractions in my life, when I put the iPad down, when I put the phone down, when I turn off Facebook, when I don't allow calls to come in, and I just begin to seek the face of God, all of a sudden my thinking changes. Some of us need to change the way that we think. And the only place that that's going to happen is when you pray. Listen to this. This is heavy. Jeremiah 33:3 says this. Call to me and I will answer and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Now that's some heavy stuff there. He says, call to me and I will tell you great hidden things. Think about that for a second. You mean to tell me there are things that are hidden that I don't understand that I'll only find when I pray? Hear what I'm saying? Some of you, you're frustrated in life. You're trying to make moves. You're trying to make things happen. Nothing's going your way. God simply says, call upon me and I'll give you the hidden treasure. I will give you the hidden formula. I will show you the next step to take. But you got to seek me first. See, perspective has everything to do with how you see things, your perception, your viewpoint, your outlook. And I may go into prayer feeling one way and know that sometimes when I come out, the situation will change simply because I found God's perspective. Number four, what you have to know about prayer. This is where we're going to get into it. All prayers are not the same. All prayers are not the same. See, there tends to be a naive belief that all prayers are the same. And this mindset can easily weaken the idea of prayer. If all of our prayers were even playing field, some people might say, well, why? Well, they pray all the time. Nothing's happening with them. I pray. But not all prayers are the same playing field. They're not. Let me explain. According to James chapter 5, verse 16, like we read, it says that the prayers of the righteous person will be powerful and effective. Now, you know what it means to be effective? It means to be operative, be at work, to put forth work, which displays one activity. This definition gives the idea that the higher quality of prayer, the more effective prayer becomes. Now, how does this happen? Is this type of prayer even possible? Well, according to James, it is. Because immediately after he said that the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective, he goes on to talk about Elijah. And he says, Elijah was just like you and I. In other words, there is no difference. But in the manner in which you pray, the way you approach the throne of God changes everything. The truth is, we can all be effective in our prayer. The question becomes, do we make prayer a part of our lifestyle, or is it an activity when we simply need something from God? See, those are the tough questions that need to be asked. And this is where you have to understand what makes people's prayers effective. Well, you have to know there are rules to praying. There actually are. There are some rules. Let me explain to you. The first thing you have to know, the first rule about prayer, when you pray, you have to pray with faith. I think they're putting it on the screens. You have to pray with faith. In other words, we have to believe what we're praying for. You have to have a view that God is all-powerful. You have to know that the God that you serve is able to do all things. And when you approach God full of faith, those of you who have children, you know, when our children are small, man, daddy can do anything. I mean, in my house, I'm bigger than Superman. Real deal. My kids think I can do it. My kids are still in that phase. You know, my daddy will beat up your daddy type thing. And I'm like, don't say that, bro. Hello. And there's something about when my young one comes and says, Daddy, you can do this, right, Daddy? And I'm like, yes, I can. Come on, fathers, wave him if you know what I'm talking about. How do you think God feels when we as his children, all hell is breaking loose, everything's going wrong, and we get into our prayer closet and we're like, God, I know you can do it. You're able. I've seen you do it before. I know that I'm limited, but with you, all things are possible. I know you can change my family. I know you can open that door. I know that some way, somehow, we're going to crack open the city of Tacoma. I believe with all my heart that my family's going to come. My marriage will be restored. I believe you can do it, God. I just have a feeling that captures God's attention, and he's like, I got action. Because if churches are prayer, like I really believe this with all my heart, that when we have the night of prayer, I believe that God's going to take notice. He's going to look down and say, man, at Victory Outreach Tacoma, I got action. I got a people that could be out on a Friday night spending their check. I got a people that could be out doing whatever they want, hanging out. But instead, they're going to put everything aside and seek the face of God. And as a result, I will hear the land. We have to believe in what we pray for, because prayer is not a hopeful wish. We don't just throw prayers out there like, I think you might do it, God. But if we approach prayer like, God, you know, if you can sneak one in there for me, please do it. There's no power in that. Mark 11, 22, Jesus tells his disciples, catch this, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. See, the lesson here focuses on faith. It focuses on the belief that things can happen. You have to believe that God can do it. And when we pray full of faith, listen, we can change the course of history. James 5:15 says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. That's heavy stuff. In other words, don't come praying for healing for the sick with doubt. God, if you can do it, if you can do it. And some of us, I used to pray like that. God, if, because I didn't think that I used to really look, I had a bad self-view of who I was. I was really complex. I didn't really think highly of myself. So I would pray like that. God, if you would do this for me. If, and it was out of, because I didn't feel like I deserved it. Who's ever been there? Wave at me. Stop praying like that. God loves you. God wants the best for you. The Bible says he knows the plans that he has for you. That's plans not to harm you. Listen, he wants to show you the hidden things in his word, but you can approach the throne of God boldly because you are a son of the King. If, no, God, please do this if it's your will. It's a matter of perspective. If this is your will, God, I'm asking you to do it. There's a little bit more power. 1 John 5:14 says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked for in him. Now you might ask, Pastor, if the Bible says I can ask for anything and receive it, then why are some of my prayers not answered? Well, possibly it's number two. The rule of prayer. The second rule of prayer is this. You got to pray with a pure heart. Like the scripture just says, that if we ask anything according to his will. The problem is there's too many people praying and they're not asking for his will. They're asking for the benefits, but they don't want to join the member. They don't want to pay the membership fee. Right? Some people want to be a part of the club, but they don't want to pay their dues. God says, no, in order to take advantage of these benefits, you have to want to live in my will. You don't got to be perfect. That's not the problem here. You don't have to be perfect. All you need to have is his heart. You have to want to do what he wants you to do. You have to say, you have to come to grips that, God, your way is probably better than my way. And I've tried a few things in my life and I have failed and I keep going in circle. I'm done. I got to do it your way. So God, if it's your will, bring my family together. If it's your will, open this door for me. If it's your will, when we took over the church of Tacoma, we prayed, God, if it is your will, open the door. I say that with passion, man, because we've got to get away from trying to live our own lives. Everyone wants the pleasures of this world. Everyone wants to do what they want to do and serve God. You can't do what you want to do and serve God at the same time. You can't be fake. Now, don't get mad at me and leave. Because I've had some people after where they said, man, I don't want to be fake, so I'm leaving the church. And you take that to the Lord, because don't use my quote as an excuse for you to jump out of the church now. Because at the end of the day, you got to answer to the Lord. The key is this. You have to respond to God. Wherever you're at, just respond to God. We're at different places. I get that. But when you learn to respond to God, let me go quickly. Are you with me? Are you getting something? Is it stirring you up? The second thing you have to know about prayer, or the second rule of prayer, you got to pray with a pure heart. And this is where we learn to check our motives behind our prayers. Our motives for our prayers, you got to ask yourself, are they right or are they for selfish gain? Because the Bible says the effective fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. The NIV, the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. In other words, the righteous refers to holy, upright living, someone who's right with God, that person's prayers are powerful and effective. The question is, are we committed to living an upright, holy life right before the Lord? Again, this doesn't mean you have to be perfect. You just have to understand repentance. Right? When you blow it, come to the altar of God and say, God, forgive me. Now, you could only do that for so long before you step outside of the grace of God. Because there's some people, they keep falling over the same thing. At some point, you got to put your big boy pants on. You got to put your big girl pants on. And you got to buckle down and say, enough is enough. I'm tired of living this life. I'm going to do what's right for my family. I'm going to do what's right for my marriage. I'm going to do what's right for my children. My children are watching me. I cannot live a life full of sin, but I got to show them what it means to be a godly person. See, the more you pursue holiness, the more powerful your prayers will be. The more we seek to live God's will, we begin to pray for things that pertain to His will, not what we want. See, that's how you know that you're progressing as a mature believer. Some people start praying and then all they do is pray for themselves. But something happens when you make prayer a lifestyle. You'll realize, man, I don't even pray for myself anymore. Real deal. I pray for you. I pray for your children. I pray for our city. I pray for the faces of people I've never met. I start praying for the single mother who's struggling. I start praying for the alcoholic out there on the street. I start praying for my family members. And my focus is completely according to His will. Now granted, there's going to be times you're going to have to pray for yourself. Because every great man of God learns how to strengthen themselves in the Lord. There are times when I'm weak. There are times when I've had it. There are times when I want to throw in the towel. But man, I get in my prayer closet and I start saying, God, I need you to fill me with your spirit. I begin to repent. I begin to start saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry if I've done things wrong. And all of a sudden, the presence of God falls. And the insignificant feelings, the feelings that I can't do things, the weakness now turns to strength. Because the Bible says that His grace is sufficient, and that His power is made perfect in your weakness. Sometimes when you're weak is when God shines the best. James 4:3 says this, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. This goes back to praying with a pure heart. Because motives play a big part in our prayers on if they're effective or not. And this is why we have to pray with a pure heart when we approach God. The third rule of prayer is this. You got to learn to pray with power. You got to pray with power. The key here is being full of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 told us this. This is what the Bible says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now last week we talked about the sinful nature and living according to God's Spirit. We talked about how to live according to God's Spirit. Well, that's simply living the life, living the Word through your life. Prayer, having your mind set on godly things. Because the Bible says those who set their minds on what God desires do not gratify the sinful nature. So in order to pray with power, we have to pursue holiness. Because all spiritual power we ever have comes from the Holy Spirit. Some of us got to start praying the prayer, God, fill me with your Spirit. Every morning that should be. If you pray anything, God, fill me with your Spirit. God, fill me. Fill me with your Spirit. Empty me of everything that's not like you. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your glory. I'm tired of being the person that I am. Galatians 5:16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And when you live according to the Spirit of God, Hebrews 4:14 tells us that we can approach God's throne boldly. That means you can pray with power. Come on, somebody. There are some of you, you're up against some incredible odds. Some of you, you have some situations in your life that the simple, God, could you do this? God, if you see it in your heart or in your plan, that's not going to work. But the type of prayer I'm talking about is saying, God, listen, I need you. Well, you got to start speaking and praying to your situation. You know, this past week I was praying. I was praying for some of you, man. I was praying like if you were right there. God, I need you. Real deal. I was praying. And you know what? I was coming against the spirit of addiction. I started looking at our city. I started coming against the spirit of violence in power. I started praying for my city because I'm sick and tired of seeing our city being ravaged and just completely destroyed. All you have to do, drive. Listen to me. Drive through some of the neighborhoods and you will see where sin beat up that neighborhood. The question is, does it bother you? You think it's just people just don't clean their houses? The hood is the hood for a reason. But I'm talking about a spirit-filled church that says, no, I will not settle for my city looking like that. God, will you please? I don't know that house on the corner on Custer. God, I can see it. The one with garbage everywhere. The one where all the people are outside. God, will you send your spirit? Will you send someone to go talk to them? That young lady that I seen that was struggling, I pray that you would speak to her situation, that you would begin to love on her, that you would show her she doesn't have to go find love everywhere else, but that you have somebody for her and that you've called her to be a woman of God. But when you start praying with power, things change. And I get aggressive sometimes in the spirit, man. Because, man, I serve a real devil. I mean, I serve a God that I'm fighting a real devil. The devil is real. You think the spirit things you go through, the addictions, the ill thoughts, the bondages in your life, always being sad and fighting, you think that's just because? No, there is a real spirit you got to fight against, and you got to pray with power and with boldness because your daddy owns everything. You got to pray with power. And lastly, number four. You got to practice persistence. When you pray, you got to pray continually. Don't pray for something two times and walk away. There are things that I'm still praying for. 12 years later, I'm still praying for. And I don't get mad at God. I just say, okay, God, it's not time. Okay, it's okay. But there are things I'm still, there are family members I'm still praying for. I got family members that are drug addicts. I'm still praying for them. They haven't come. I'm still praying. This is where I see a lot of people lose heart. And the best scripture that I can find, it's a story found in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 7. It's even titled it something to the effect of the persistent widow. Listen to what the Bible says. And he told them a parable, meaning Jesus speaking to his disciples, to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in the city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear that the right unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? See, the problem is you're only crying in the day. And God says, no, I need you to cry at night. In other words, I need you to be consistent. I need to know that this is really what you want. I need to know that you believe in what you're asking for. And if you trust me, he will eventually give us what our hearts desire. We got to practice persistence. This is why in this church, we promote prayer as a daily lifestyle. Pray every morning. And if you can't pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon. I don't care when you do it, but learn to pray every single day. Because there are things that you need. Remember, prayer makes things happen. And there are things that will happen that would not have happened had you not prayed. And if there are things that we want in our lives and we're not praying for it, you know we can be delaying history. You can delay what God wants to do in your life simply because you had not prayed. See, this story speaks of the power of persistence. And if God doesn't tell you no, keep praying. If God doesn't tell you no, because God will normally say three things, yes, no, or wait. And if he's called you to wait, you keep praying until God releases you, because sometimes God will tell you no, and if it's no, stop praying, because it wasn't his will. And I end with this. I've been seeking God. I've been asking God, God, show me what you want to do. And I kid you not, you know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, Eric, stop speaking, start seeking. And I was like, what? Because I was asking God, help me build this church. I was even giving God my plan. You ever talk to somebody that they ask you for help, but then they give you the answer? Those are some frustrating people. Hey, bro, how do I do this? Because this is what I wanted to do, and this is what I think I'm going to do. You know, this is what I'm going to do. Why did you even ask me? And God told me, stop speaking, and I got to start seeking. And like in the scripture we talked about where the Bible says the power of the effectual prayer of the first, the prayers of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And he took me to Elijah. And like the Bible says, Elijah was just like us. Now, in James, the Bible's talking about Elijah being a powerful man. But he was like us. Because if you were read 1 Kings chapter 19, this was a time in his life that wasn't so powerful and not so good. If you read that story, the Bible says he was so discouraged that he prayed to God, take my life, for it's worth nothing. The same man that prayed with power was going through something in his life in 1 Kings chapter 19 to where he didn't want to follow God or he didn't want to deal with the calling anymore. Sometimes you can get so tired of things not happening in your life. But you know what's heavy? If you read verse 7 through 12. At the top of verse 11 in your Bible, it more than likely says God's revelation to Elijah. Because here Elijah was discouraged and he sat under a broom tree. And the Bible tells us the angel of the Lord appeared to him and gave him food. And there the Bible says that he tells him, listen, eat, drink, for the journey is too great for you. But watch this. In verse number 9, it says, and there God told him to go up to Mount Horeb, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah responds to God. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts of the children of Israel and forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets. Listen to this. I have been very zealous. I have forsaken. I alone am left. His focus was no longer on God. It was all on what he was doing. And if you read all the times before that, listen to me, Elijah prayed about everything. But during this time in his life, he wasn't seeking God. He was operating in the arm of his flesh. In other words, he was doing things out of his own strength. Watch this. Verse number 11. Then he said, go out and stand to the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mantle, went and stood in the entrance of the cave, and suddenly a voice came to him saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? See, Elijah was used to the miracles. Elijah was used to being the answer, being the vessel that God would use. But watch this. This time, the answer wasn't in his works. The answer wasn't in what he's been used to seeing. The answer was in standing still and seeking the face of the Lord. And it wasn't until he stood and he stopped talking that the voice of the Lord came, what are you doing here, Elijah? Some of you have to stop speaking and you have to start seeking. Whatever happened to separating yourself and just staying there in prayer until God spoke to you? Prayer isn't always requests. There are times I literally don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And I just sit there and I meditate on the Lord. And the Spirit of God falls. There's even times I go in and I just start crying. Everything inside of me just comes out. And it's in those times that God speaks to my spirit. It's in those times that God blankets me with his love. And listen, church, I end with this. I truly end with this. We're at a place in history that if you don't pray, our children will live hell on earth. Our children will live hell on earth. But this is my prayer. And I tell you this, some of you who know me, in my house, I set this, and I've always wanted to do this. Every morning, I told my wife, when I become a father, every morning, I want my kids to watch me praying. And I would say, almost every day, I'm up before my children. I have music on downstairs, and I'm seeking the face of God. My little ones will come, and they'll just cuddle right there. And they'll just sit there. Daddy, were you praying? Yes, baby. See, they've already learned to sit in the peace of God. Listen, fathers, we need to teach our children how to pray. Don't leave the atmosphere to be set to your wife. Nothing against the women. Listen, my wife has a place. I would not be the man had you not been who you are and what you do for me. But listen to me. All too often, the woman is the prayer warrior and the man knows how to get things done. That should not be in this church. We as the men need to set the spiritual atmosphere in our houses. We need to set the tone in prayer. We need to be the ones at prayer. This is why we need to be at the altars. And listen, as a result, if your wife has the gift of prayer, God bless her. My wife has the gift of prayer. My wife has the gift of intercession. That's all good and dandy. But God called me to be the head of the church. I know my role, and I don't say that arrogantly, but I know what he's called me to. Nothing will be done unless I first learn to seek the face of God. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes.